Often vulgar, always explicit, and sometimes funny.
Slap box. Slap box.
Welcome to Slapbox Podcast. This is episode 655, and your host Josh Albrecht, recording once again inside the Slapbox penthouse. My trusty sidekick, Agent Fox Mulder, is by my feet. He was over on the table. Now he just dropped down as I started talking, as he's wants some attention, of course, now that I've started recording. He might start biting me. I might have some issues. Hopefully he chills out. Hopefully not. Chill it out, man. Chill it out. I did put the fear in him the other day. The other day he was a little concerned. I finally returned the kennel that I had borrowed from my friend Megan. I had the kennel for when I had Agent Scully here. When I had the notion that, you know what, let's try two kitties. Let's try that out, shall we? Yeah, I had the kennel here for that, and it's probably been a month since I've had, I don't remember when it was exactly I had returned her to the Humane Society, but I had her here for a month, and it's been probably close to a month since she's been gone, which I think she's been adopted now, because maybe I mentioned this before, but they had transferred the ownership, or taking me off the ownership on the pet link thing, the chip she's got inside her. So I'm assuming that means that somebody else has adopted her. And hopefully it works out well. Hopefully, I wish nothing ill of the kitty. Although there was some nights where she kept me up a lot. Anyway, the point I was getting to, where I quit my digressions here, but... I had the kennel still, and I'd been meaning to get rid of it, but it's in the other room where I, like, never go into, my little storage room that it turned into the kitty's room. Although I've been keeping the door open because Agent Fox Mulder here seems to enjoy going in there now, as he's had the chance to do so, and I feel like it's kind of cool, kind of nice for him to have his own little room. To go hide into. And there's a nice little kitty bed in there to keep him, give him a little place to, chill out, chillax. As right now, he's chillaxing by my feet. As he doesn't seem like he's going to bite me within the next couple of minutes, at least. But I'm willing to bet there's going to come a time when he will bite me during this recording. But anyway, the other day, so I was bringing the kennel back to Megan, and, so I had to go grab it and everything, and I opened back up to make sure it was cleaned out. I go ahead and wiped it out some more. I had already, like, vacuumed it and stuff previously, but I was, I'm trying to clean it as much as possible, return it filthy, and, I had opened the crate back up and everything to get back in there, and he's like, "Whoa, what's going on? I remember what you had in here. I remember you had another cat in here." And he's like, he's all like curious, what's smelling everything, like, what's up, dude? What's up? What are you doing? And so then I cleaned it, which there wasn't really much of anything clean there, but I went ahead and then closed it back up. And then, like, brought it downstairs the whole time. He's like, oh, shit, man, he's bringing it downstairs. This means there's another fucking cat down there. I could feel the fear build up in him. Oh, but also curiosity. There was curiosity and fear. And I'm just like, relax, dude. Not bringing it home another cat. It's all right. Or that, Agent Scully, she's not coming back, buddy. You can breathe a sigh of relief. And, I think when I got back too, he's a little like, well, what's going on after I dropped it off? But that fear, I guess, went away pretty quickly. But he did seem concerned when I started messing around with that. He was just like, what the fuck is going on, dude? Like, you gotta be fucking kidding me. You make me think that, oh, hey, everything's all cool. And then you gonna bring her back or another cat? What's going on? But no, I have no intentions of doing that. I feel like, you know, it could work out with some cat, but I really don't feel the need to attempt to try that again. I think what we got here, we got a good thing going on. Don't really want to fuck that up again. you know, I maybe fucked that up a little bit by trying that once. Don't need to do it again. But anywho, yeah. So that was that excitement for Agent Fox there. Anyway, yeah. I did, of course, you know, I talked last week about doing the whole booking the trip for Germany, which I believe I did that before. I'm pretty sure I did that before last week's show, that I officially booked that. That's pretty much what's been on my mind, as I did get notification that my passport renewal was accepted and that they are printing it currently. I should, according to my email, get my new passport next Saturday. So that's exciting. So there's really not much more for me to do to get ready for the trip other than lose some fucking weight and get in shape. And I'm going to try some Z-Biotics. I don't know that, you know, I imagine a lot of people have heard of it. I don't know how many people have actually tried it. But, you know, I'm going to Oktoberfest and I'm going to need to, you know, I that's something else I'm going to have to train for. I don't drink much beer. Beer is, going to Oktoberfest, you're drinking it in Munich. You're drinking by the liter. That's a mass of beer, yeah? That's a lot. And, you know, I imagine we'll make at least one full a day of going to Oktoberfest. So that means multiple liters of beer in one day. Multiple. And I don't know that my body can handle that. I'm fucking old. I'm about to turn 44. I'll be 44 when I'm in there. Yeah, which, fun fact, actually, St. Pat's is the also not only my birthday, but the also the anniversary of this show. It'll be 13 years? Yeah, 2012 is when it started. I do believe this. 13 years. That's fucking crazy. Which, speaking of passport applications, I got another... there's a new thing. Email about my application status. We sent your supporting documents via first class mail on March 8th to the mailing address. Application. Supporting documents may include a previous passport, birth certificate, naturalization certificate, or other citizenship and identity documents. New passports and supporting documents are sent in separate mailings at different times if you have not received your passport after 2 weeks. Okay, so they have sent it. I'm guessing that's what that means, but the support, they don't have any of my supporting documents. The fuck? I didn't send them any. I guess they just mean that they sent my shit. Yeah, anyway, I thought maybe there'd be a little bit more to that. That email's a little confusing. I guess back to Z-Biotics. yeah, I'll get into Z-Biotics here. I've never taken the Z-Biotics, but it's a pre-alcohol drink. It's bottle looks weird. I don't know. I ordered some from Amazon. because it didn't look like I could get anywhere here in town. Maybe I was wrong on that. I looked at least at Walgreens. Maybe they have Walmart or something. I don't know. But apparently, I guess there's multiple products like this. Let's see here. This is but the idea of it is, I'm gonna mispronounce this shit. But you know, it says here the basics. When we drink, our bodies break down alcohol into an unwanted byproduct called acetaldehyde. Acetaldehyde? I guess acetate dehyde. I don't know. That byproduct is largely responsible for how we feel the day after drinking. The acetaldehyde builds up in the gut. It forms in two places, the liver and the gut. The liver produces an enzyme that removes it quickly, but the gut does not. So acetaldehyde builds up and lingers, filtering out into the rest of our body over time. Pre-alcohol breaks it down. Pre-alcohol helps our gut catch up by temporarily adding a probiotic that can break down acetaldehyde, which I drink. I mean, I don't usually hit it before drinking alcohol, but I do enjoy some kombucha, which has got probiotics. But is it the same probiotic that's going to help? I don't know. I've never tried it. Don't recall trying to drink kombucha beforehand. Anyway, this probiotic, Bacillus subtilis ZB183, has been engineered to produce the same type of enzyme as our liver, one that digests acetaldehyde. I'm guessing that's probably not your normal kombucha. It's probably built with genetic engineering. The ZBiotics team invented the probiotic in pre-alcohol Bacillus subtilis ZB183. Trademark. Using genetic engineering, our approach to biotechnology is safety first and grounded in the strictest ethical principles. Anyway, you know, I'm going to read some reviews because that's what I really care about. Does this really work? Does this... I'm not reading the reviews off their site because fuck that. I don't trust that. Don't trust that at all. Ooh, let's get Reddit. Let's get Reddit involved here. On a topic, has anyone tried ZBiotic? It's supposed to reduce hangover by breaking down bad shit. That's we'll just call it bad shit. That sounds much better than trying to... Oh, here we go. I was walking through the city today and happened upon a store that sells ZBiotic. Again, it's probiotic. We went over the shit. Breaks down the acetaldehyde, the bad shit in your gut. Like yogurt for alcoholics. There we go. I, of course, bought some, drank one, and am now on my second of many strong IPAs. I'll be sure to keep hydrated as well. I'll know tomorrow if it works, but I'm curious if anyone else out there has tried it. I found lots of articles about this stuff, but no real feedback from people. Edit, this shit is good. Another edit. I don't work for them, but 2 years later, they have a referral program now, and this thread is still getting replies. You can save 10% with this link. Oh, should have went to this link beforehand. And full disclosure, yes, I do get a 10% discount too. What is everybody else saying? Everything Electronic posted that in the subreddit alcohol. Austin Java Man says, I recently tried it twice. The first time, I think it helped me feel less hungover, but I still feel spacey and a bit more nauseous than normal. It took a good day to clear. Yesterday, I tried it again. I only had 2 to 3 glasses of wine. I think I feel worse than I would have otherwise felt. Well, that's not promising. I slept terrible both times as measured by my Aura ring and how I feel. It wasn't a game changer for me, and I would return it, except the company doesn't provide return labels or an easy way to return that warrants the effort. I'm also skeptical of companies that don't allow reviews on their site. What are they hiding? If it works for most people, they should let people review it. Everything Electronic responds back with, it's definitely no magic pill. I'd say it takes away like 70% of the awfulness. Making sure to drink lots of water and get sleep also help. I mean, I figured I couldn't just drink infinitely. I mean, alcohol is still poison. But Jabberwocky Superfly says the acetaldehyde, or whatever is a byproduct, the bad shit, a byproduct of alcohol being metabolized in the liver. It goes into your bloodstream. Your kidneys must clean it. So no intestine and no Z-biotics. True, but in fact, not all fabulous insurance, 81 says. True, but in fact, not all alcohol gets metabolized in the liver, and what doesn't ends up as acetaldehyde in the intestine, making you feel nauseous. There is data on this. Sick Kid 29 just says, what? I want to hear more. Let's see here. I mean, one person here, Xena Bard. That's a good comment here. Use common sense. If the stuff worked, the drug companies would have snapped up the patent. This would be a bigger seller than Viagra. But it's another scam. It's being sold as a supplement because vitamins and supplements are not tested or regulated. This is totally true. They are not required to demonstrate that they are safe and effective. This is a very true statement. I'm really, really just, you know, nervous about drinking a fuck ton of beer in Germany and don't want to ruin my whole vacation, you know? Comprehensive Act 583 says, try morning recovery. I used to get terrible 2-day hangovers and couldn't get out of bed. I've been using morning recovery for 2 years now, and it works every single time. I don't know about that. No dizziness, no next day foggy head, no nausea, and very little fatigue. Every hangover remedy I've ever tried has made me feel worse or kept me awake. Not this. Get the original, not the sugar-free. I've given this to over 30 people, and every single one has said it helped. That sounds like this person works for morning recovery. You can take it before, during, or after. If you forget and wake up hungover, you can take them, and it still helps to make you feel better by the afternoon. The best way is to take half after your first few drinks and then take the other half a couple hours later, but not right before bed. There are some B vitamins in it, and those can give you a bit of energy if you're sensitive to them, and then you might not sleep as well. I've taken it right before bed because I forgot and woke up earlier than usual and couldn't get back to sleep, but it was only that one time. Yeah, that's how people end up pregnant. Just this one time. Anyway, it might have been a coincidence. The only time I woke up hungover while taking it, I still felt felt way better than I should. I drank enough to die and didn't eat anything the whole day. I'm going to venture to guess you didn't drink enough to die. Just saying. Says, well, I just took another one, and when I woke up, and by noon, I was feeling pretty good. Morning recovery, like everyone else, has raised their prices quite a bit, so it's getting almost too expensive, but if you buy the 24 case, it's not too bad, and they offer a money-back guarantee if it doesn't work for you. I'm sensitive to supplements and usually get side effects, but not with this. Z-biotics made me puke and didn't work. Oh, I don't like the sound of that. I hate puking. Now I'm a little nervous. I bought a small thing. It was like 30-something bucks for like just a couple of them. So, I mean, if it doesn't work, I didn't invest that much.
I'm not seeing, I mean, there's obviously a lot. There's apparently a lot of subreddits going to Z-biotics. Let's see a more recent one. Is there Z-biotics? Pardon my take. Z-biotics. Oh, this post was deleted by the person that posted it. Hangovers are no longer worth it. On Dadit subreddit. Tips and tricks. This is a fact. I don't think we need to discuss it, but advice is welcome regarding how I can go drink 10 pints and look after a 2-month-old effectively afterwards. Whoa, buddy. Update. 10 pints was a bit of an exaggeration. Let's hope so. Jesus, man. let's say 6 to 7 if I'm meeting some friends I don't see too often. I'm going to sum up the advice so far. Here are the options. Stop drinking, number 1. 2, drastically reduce drinking. 3, drink 1 water per beer. 4, start drinking earlier and finish earlier. 5, substitute booze for weed. What kind of a... How is that a solution? 6, eat a lot before you slam those beers. 7, non-alcoholic beers. The party leader says... Maybe the night you drink 10 pints should be the night you don't have to wake up with the 2-month-old. Also, food, water, Gatorade, substitutes, and drinking earlier typically do me fine by morning. It's when I hang out with my night shift nurse friend that the next day sucks. Oh, tell me about this night shift nurse friend. James Decky says, me and my wife take turns when we're having a heavy weekend for this reason. She's out. Don't worry about functioning tomorrow. Same if I'm out. Or if we're both drinking, we get a babysitter or just face the wrath of a difficult day the next day. I also find being forced to wake up and be responsible for a child accelerates hangover recovery. Oh, that's nice. I think so. Apparently all I need to do is just have a newborn. I have time to make that happen, I guess. Anyway, probably because I have to get my body moving and eating rather than being stuck in bed, but that could just be me. The party leader says, haha, I certainly know the fine line of solving the hangover now or watch it multiply its gold over me. Haha. Anyway, yeah. I mean, you know, I guess it could help. I'll be getting the stuff within the next couple of days, and I did find that I did a Google search for, well, I know Augustiner. I can't get Augustiner. Apparently, I can get a real small supply of it, which was my favorite brewery in Munich, or München, as the locals call it. Was, of course, my favorite beer was the Augustiner, which I forgot which one. It's not the Helles, not the one that I, there was. I don't remember which ones I had of theirs, but there was one that I thought was amazing, and yeah, I don't remember. It was, you know, 6-7 years ago. Like almost 7 years ago I did that trip. Son of a bitch. Been too long. But yeah, again, I found some German beer in a place that I wouldn't have thought. Some beer from Munich, which, like, normally, if I feel like some German beer, I will go to Schnucks, and there's the Urban Chestnut that has the Zwickel Dunkel beer that is pretty tasty. I love a good Dunkel. It's the worker's beer, if I remember correctly, from Germany. It's the dark, like, work. It's tasty. It's tasty. Not as good as the Augustiner beer that I had. Augustiner Brau. Let's see here. Augustiner Brau. The brewery. Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. I want this in English, you sons of bitches. I know a little bit of German, not full on. Whatever. Okay. Da-da-da-da. Oh, you gotta be at least 16. And. Yeah. To go to their website. Oh, here we go. Their beers. They got the fun fact. Before I get into the beer that I found, they got the Augustiner Lager Bier Hell, or the Helles. It's good. It's a good light beer, but it's light like German light. It's not like American light beer like Bud Light, which is just piss in a bottle. German beer is not light in calories when they call it light. It is light as in color. You know, before I get into the Augustiner stuff, I'll just say I found the Hofbräuhaus, the Hofbräu or Breuer. Getting my pronunciation. I'm trying to get back on to like working on some German and how to pronounce things properly. You know, ich verstehe nur ein bisschen Deutsch, which means I only understand a little German. But I'm trying to get back in it so I can understand some shit.
My buddy John, of course, that's going with me, he doesn't know any German, so I gotta, you know, be the guide here. I feel almost more pressure from that than being by myself. Being by myself, like, I know that I know what to do to have give myself to make sure that I enjoy my stay there and that I'm gonna have a good time. But like, anyway, Hofbräu beer, they have it at dirt cheap. I'm guessing at all the dirt cheap locations. But you can buy, I got a six pack of the Hofbräu Dunkel, which I believe they had the Hefeweizen as well. But I got the Dunkel six pack for $10, a little over $10. That may be pre-Trump inflation. I don't know if Germany's on the list of tariff countries. I know EU was, you know, of course he backed off on his Canada and Mexico tariffs, but Canada and Mexico don't seem to want any part of it and have already stopped carrying like American products and stuff. So the damage is already done. but I would imagine, you know, we could see some inflation with that. But as of right now, you go to dirt cheap, and at least in the Washington, Missouri dirt cheap, it was like 10 something for a six pack of Hofbräu Haus Dunkel. Which was tasty. But back to my favorite beer in Germany, which I haven't tasted every beer. I might feel differently going to Oktoberfest, and if we go to every 10th, there's like 10 or 13 tents. I forgot how many different tents there are, different breweries. I, you know, if I taste them all, I might have some different opinions on that. But from what I've had, which Augustiner, if I'm not mistaken, is like the oldest brewery in Munich. I mean, like pretty much all the breweries have been around for hundreds of years at this point. they don't fuck around in Munich. Anyway, but yeah, I'll go back to their beer here, which says Augustiner Lagerbier Hell. In the foreground, the pure cellar fresh odor note can be detected. In addition, the slightly floral hop tones with background malt aroma are perceptible. Due to the lean, balanced body, the pleasantly tangy taste experience comes out excellently in the background. You can taste the velvety, soft hop bitterness. Lagerbier Hell is served in a traditional 0.5 liter Augustiner glass. So half a liter Augustiner glass. Ingredients, water, barley, malt hops. Alcohol, 5.2% per volume. That's a, you know, you're going to get these German beers. They're going to be higher in alcohol content than the piss that they put in a bottle here in the States. I can't piss off. There's some American beers, like, you know, I'm not a big beer drinker in general. But I love me some Guinness. If I'm going beer, I'm going to go Guinness, or I'm going to go some German beer. And there's that Georgian beer that I have no fucking idea, which was like my favorite beer ever when I had in Russia. But like, I don't see myself going to Georgia anytime. From what I understand, though, if you want an awesome trip and like the cost of living and everything, I mean, the cost of shit's pretty cheap there. Maybe that's changed now. But anyway, they also they have a Augustiner Hell non-alcoholic. I don't want that. I don't want that. I want the booze. There's the this my favorite? This might have been Augustiner Edelstoff. It gets its brilliant expression from the bright straw yellow. The freshness comes with the clean smell, the floral hints, and followed by soft malt aromas on the nose. Due to the long lagering period, the mild and distinctive body of the noble is attractively tangy. The beer has a balanced sweetness and is laced with hop bitter nuances. Augustiner Edelstoff is served in a special diamond mug. Ingredients, water, barley, malt, hops. Alcohol, 5.6 per volume. There's percentage. Yeah, that's... What was the hell? It is slightly higher than that. That might have been the one, the Edelstoff. But again, I'm not really sure. They got their Hellerbach. This This beer has a strong but not obtrusive body. A very subtle fine hop bitterness combined with a light honey sweetness give the Hellerbach a soft, harmonious finish. The Hellerbach is served in the typical Augustiner Braue Stutzen. 7.5% alcohol content. Holy shit. Wow. That is fucking... I don't remember if I had the Hellerbach or not, but I mean, I do enjoy like an Amberbach, like when I, of like the Busch products, Anheuser-Busch products, like Amberbach would be my go-to. So this might be comparable to that. I don't know. I'm betting it's better. Amberbach, I would assume, has a lot less alcohol content. Amberbach. Let's see here. Let's see what this, what's the percentage? Amberbach 5.1, which is pretty high for, I would believe, American beers. I'm pretty sure, like, let's see what Bud Light's ABV is. 4.2 for Bud Light, which I was thinking was, shit, I was thinking on. American beers were even less than that, but like 2-something%. Anyway, so I mean, these are 7.5 is insane. 7.5 is, you're going to get, you get drink, keep drinking Hellerbach. You're going to be feeling fucking good, man. You're going to be feeling good. See, Augustina is Weissbier. This is a convinces by the light amber color and with finely interspersed yeast cloudiness. Typical for this wheat beer are the pronounced fruit aromas of banana with slight hints of pineapple and mango. Maybe this was the one. Man, I wish I remembered which one it was I really loved. Due to the use of traditional bottle fermentation, the wheat beer has a pronounced voluminous body, and it is nevertheless distinctly tangy and refreshing. And that one's ingredients, water, wheat malt, barley malt, hops, yeast, and 5.4% alcohol content there, ABV, or whatever. Alcohol per volume, whatever the fuck. I forget what exactly ABV means. Anyway, clearly I don't pay that much attention to the Pilsner. I'm going to say the Pilsner was not my favorite. Pretty sure that was not it, but they have a Pilsner. It shine. They say it's shines with its fresh straw, yellow and brilliantly clear appearance. The head is creamy, stable and fine poured. You gotta love a good creamy head. The fresh and pure aroma is characterized by fruity hop aromas, interspersed with citrus notes. Slender and elegant in the drink, it is additionally pleasantly tangy, typical of pills in the finely tart, dry hop bitterness. which quickly dissipates in a harmonious aftertaste. Which I should note, oh, this is 5.6% ABV. They have an Oktoberfest beer. Oktoberfest beer. That one's 6.3% ABV, and that one's they got to have the higher alcohol content in the stuff they make for Oktoberfest because it sits for longer, and for it to stay fresh, you have to have a higher alcohol content. Says this one, the extra long and cold storage time results in a very soft but strong, full-bodied, rounded body, which evokes multi-layered taste sensation. The subtle, velvety, soft hop bitterness let the Oktoberfest beer finish round and harmonious, ideally served in a Maßkrug or in a Wille mug. And oh, they got a few more beers yet. The Maximator. Yeah, some Maximator. Oh, yeah. Typical for the Maximator is the full-bodied, pithy, and pronounced body coated with a fine and velvety refraction due to the use of dark malt produced in the barn malt house. The light sweetness is surrounded by toasty cocoa notes. The finish is smooth with a lingering note of dark chocolate. Oh, another very high alcohol content. Augustiner, not fucking around. The ingredients are call for water, barley malt, hops, and alcohol content of 7.5%. Not fucking around. All right. Augustiner Dunkel. I may or may not have had their Dunkel. Again, I'm a fan of the Dunkel in general. Pretty much every Dunkel I've had, fan of here. The pure texture, reminiscent of the color of chestnuts, gives Augustiner Dunkel a very special expression. Mild roasted aromas, accompanied by light caramel and cocoa notes, characterize the beer already in the smell. The exquisite body is characterized by malt and coffee aromas and is supported by a pleasant effervescence. Oh, man. The fine roasted bitterness rounds off the beer harmoniously in the finish. And this one is ingredients, of course, involve water, barley, malt, hops, and an alcohol content of 5.6%. And, oh, that's it. That's all the beers they have. As if I had to guess, it's either the favorite one I probably had, it had to either be the Edelstahl. Or possibly, I mean, it could have been like, I mean, there's three of them it could really possibly be. Although, again, maybe it was the Maximum. I mean, I feel like it could be the Edelstahl, perhaps the Hellebach. The Weissbier sounds like maybe that was it. Fuck, I don't even know, man. I don't even know. I really don't remember. It was a crazy night. I did go back on the website for this podcast and made it a little bit easier to find the first episode of me coming back from Germany by relabeling the episode name to where it says Germany trip, first Germany trip, something like that. And basically, if you just search Germany on the webpage, you'll find that. But I did listen back to a little bit of it because it's been, you know, what did I say, 6-7 years? It'll be going on 7 years, whatever it is, since I was there. And so my recollection of it isn't so clear anymore, but that I recorded right after coming back. And I was sick for it. You can hear the sick throat. As pretty much most of the time I've come back from Europe, I not felt well. But I did run, it usually coincided with me running a marathon and then leaving immediately afterwards. Which is a tricky thing to do. If you're going to do that, you are burning through. I mean, you're wearing down your immune system by running a marathon. It's a, you know, unfortunate thing. And then you go on a plane, for like 9 hours or whatever. And you're around like 100-something people in this little box, this little tin box in the sky. You're bound to have some issues. There's a good chance you're going to pick something up. There's probably shit in the air. And a lot of times I've come back. I came back and was like, oh shit, I'm not feeling so hot. So I've paid the price. I paid my dues. But yeah, I'll have to go back and, I mean, maybe I'll have, I remember what I do recall with that. I didn't go back and listen to like the whole episode of me, immediately back from Germany. I listened to, I just kind of popped around. See if I get out certain stories. I feel like, though, this like good research for me is to go back and listen to these episodes of me immediately coming back and having a fresh recollection of what I just did. It's good for me to go like, oh, yeah, I might want to remember to do this or that, or like, oh, yeah, I really enjoyed this. Because, you know, as time progresses, your memory changes. It's like you forget stuff and like you you think you remember things clearly and then you realize, oh no, 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 that is not what happened. As I, what's nice is about having these recordings and podcasting all the time, I have that to tell myself in the future. I can remind myself once I've forgotten everything, when I've forgotten my own name, I can go back and almost like the notebook at the end of the notebook when Ryan Gosling's character, which the forgetting the name, the actor that played him as like who was the, now I'm going to have to look at the notebook. Big famous actor. It's been a long time since I watched the notebook. You know what I'm saying? He's like at the end. Going back, oh man, it's from 2000. This movie's so old now. It was James Garner that played Ryan Gosling's character as an old man. Anyway, James Garner is reading to his wife this the story of them, basically, you know, and just because she can't remember shit, she's got the Alzheimer's or dementia of some sort, and I feel like that's kind of, you know, that I don't see myself getting married or anything. I'm already like 43 and it doesn't seem like that's going to be a thing. And so I will just have to have somebody play this podcast back to me. Be like, yeah, you remember this now? And then I might have, you know, a minute of clarity. Like, oh yes, I remember when Dylan, which I'd kind of forgotten his name, but my first trip to Germany, of course, my only trip at this point. But that was the name of the guy that spit on the German guy. And I was like, oh, yeah, his name was Dylan. I kind of forgot that part. And I went back and listened to a little bit of my first trip to Ireland. And mainly because I knew I had forgot. I blew a chance with a very attractive woman from Canada on that trip. Because I'm pretty sure that time, I'm pretty sure I would have had a shot at her, doing things with her, enjoying, you know, her company, as we might say. I mean, it was, things were, like, it felt that way. Now, in Germany, I met the girl Alex from Canada, and she was, I really liked her a lot, but I'm afraid I might have been in a friend zone with her. It was hard for me to read with that one. And I really didn't pursue that further because, again, I felt like I was in the friend zone. I didn't want to betray that, you know, by trying to, like, hey, do you want to fuck? I don't see myself just saying that either. Just, like, maybe, like, hey, want to go hang out in your room, in my room? I don't know. play Scrabble? Let's go buy a thing of Scrabble. I'm sure they got that here in Germany. You know, I'm pretty sure I was in the, but yeah, I had forgotten the first Ireland trip, what that woman's name was, and Anna. I don't know that I'm going to remember that again now, but hey, I can always go back and listen to that fucking episode. I have the technology. I can do that, which is kind of nice. It killed me that I don't remember. Now, I don't really remember the conversation we had. I mean, we had a decently long conversation before hitting the cliffs of Moher, which then when I just completely went off on my own and was a dick and totally screwed it up. But anyway, yeah. Looking forward to Germany round two. Looking forward to Germany round two. I think having a wingman, maybe I, like, if I meet somebody I really like, and at the very least, John can remind me, like, hey, douchebag, you know, at least get her info. So that way, you know, I want to, like, if I meet another Canadian that, you know, lives in place, like, I can go to just crash on her couch or something for, like, a week so I can have a free place to stay in Canada. That would be awesome, even if we're not, like, fucking or whatever. You know, it'd be great to, you know, have sex. That's, you know, it's been a long time, but, like, I remember enjoying sex when I had it. But really, the idea is like, oh man, to have a free place to stay and like crash at in like a foreign country just sounds awesome. And I might need it now. You know, the shit I've said about our current dictator is, you know, in the future could be enough to arrest me or whatever, give me some trouble. I'm not really nervous about it at the moment, but it could lead to this eventually. Yeah, I mean, he could hopefully we, you know, I'm more of like, feel like I should be the good wingman to him, but, you know, he might, help me out. Who knows? Or we'll just get really drunk and he'll regret ever going to Germany with me. I feel like he's pretty nervous about it. Like, he's excited, but also nervous about it. I don't know, like, I'm not nervous about going to Germany. I mean, this isn't my first rodeo. I'm the only thing I'm slightly nervous about is, like, I know what nervous isn't quite the way to describe it. I'm just like, I don't know how he's going to, like, I imagine he's going to enjoy his parts of it. But, like, I don't want to plan on doing too much stuff. I find, in general, when I've traveled to Europe, that you, like, many times I've kind of gone by a concrete plan. The first couple trips, not so much. Definitely the Russian trips in general, those were not real planned real well at all. Especially the first one. And I just had food poisoning and shit the bed. That was, the second time, like, I did a lot. I didn't get sick the second time. I did, what, two or three? I guess two tours. And those were private tours. And they were much cheaper than getting private tours in, like, Germany or Ireland. And I got to say, it was awesome to have a private tour. But I would honestly prefer to have a group tour where I'm meeting other fellow travelers and, you know, we're having the same experience. Whereas, like, it's cool to just have one-on-one experience with the tour guide. Like, I see the benefit of having a private tour guide, because any questions you're just talking to directly to the guide. And, you know, there's definitely awesomeness in that. But I think the experience of experiencing all this new shit with a group of also other people that are experiencing this for the first time, and that, you know, a lot of times I'm doing the tours with Americans because, you know, I'm going on English-speaking tours, so there's a lot of Americans, and there's, you know, then I'll also meet a lot of, like, Brits or Australians and what have you, Canadians, a lot of Canadians. I would opt for the group thing, and especially, like, going back to Germany, like, man, the private tours are expensive, but I could understand, like, paying for a private tour if you had a group of people, you know, if you had, like, your family or something, and you wanted to experience it all and just have it all to yourselves sort of situation. But as, like, one or two people, I don't see the point in getting a private tour, because they're just too pricey. And I think, again, the benefit of doing, like, these tours is just the socializing with other travelers. And that's the thing I think John's going to enjoy the most about going to Germany, is just meeting a ton of people and hearing their stories. And, like, enjoying, you know, just having a shared experience of experiencing the shit for the first time. And, like, that's a big part of what I've enjoyed of traveling. And that's lies in where, goes, like, my biggest weakness about traveling, where I've really failed miserably, is that I've met some really awesome people while traveling. And I've proven to myself, like, well, I'm just even bad about remembering most of their names. If I even learn their names, I've met so many cool people. I didn't even learn their name, but, like, we shared, like, a couple hours together hanging out. And it was just, like, with, like, a group of people, and we shot the shit, whatever. And, but I'm terrible at, like, hey, what's, you know, hey, maybe we should follow each other on Instagram or something, you know, so like kind of keep in touch and just like, you know, just. But no, I don't do any of that. I think the problem is that when I'm there, of course, I like to take a lot of pictures when I'm there. I do want to remember it in that way. But when I'm out there traveling, I want to live in the moment. And in the moment is like, you know, you're not thinking about the future, you know, you're not thinking about, hey, this, if I want to continue traveling and having connections to find a place to stay or just, you know, hang out at their place or whatever, or just have recommendations. I mean, there's a lot of benefits to knowing people in these foreign countries that I should really have capitalized on. Going to Europe 6 times, I should really have made, you know, some kind of attempt at least to make some connections. But like, I've never even learned, like, I've learned first names. I've never learned like last names. I can't find these people. I found like the tour guide from my first tour in Ireland, my first group tour there, Laura. Her last name eludes me at the top of my brain, but she was really awesome. She's on Instagram. I found her on there, but I never like talked to her on there. I doubt she remembers me at this point. It was 10 years ago that I had her as a tour guide. But other than that, I mean, I've tried to find like Alex from Canada, who lived in Baltimore when we met. We met it in Germany, 2018. I tried to find her all over social media. I tried to go and search, because I also know she went to Oktoberfest. I did not, but she had gone to Oktoberfest, and I tried to. I mean, I've gone through so many pictures of 2018 Oktoberfest, but you got to figure there's something like, what, on average, there's like close to 7 million people that go to Oktoberfest in Munich. It's some fucking ridiculous number. I talked about it last week, but there's just an insane number. And to be able to find one person in, you know, millions of posts, which I didn't even know if she had like an Instagram or anything either. I didn't even ask, of course. Had I asked, I would have fucking known and followed her. That being said, shit, she may or may not have social media in general. So me searching for her was, you know, probably in vain to begin with. I don't know. I'll never know. Or maybe not. Maybe I will run into her again in Germany. It seems highly unlikely. But I find having somebody there by my I feel like John would be better with that, with meeting people. But I'm quite good in conversation with like rizzing people up. I'm just not good at like going like, okay, we're gonna hang out later. I'm good for like a one-time conversation. I think part of it is too is I have like the same stories over and over again when I'm talking to people in general. Because they're like kind of like my go-to stories. And I say this as somebody that podcasts once a week. I talk obviously about a lot of shit, but it seems like a lot of this shit I do kind of repeat on unintentionally. But yeah, I feel like it's just that I try to just live in the moment and not care what happens past that moment. And I feel like I should have all these friends in foreign countries, and I don't. I mean, I've met plenty of people, shared many of conversations, and yet all I have is that memory that is fading more and more, and I have to go back and listen to these podcasts to find to find any kind of recollection of it. It's a bit tricky. But I feel like this Germany trip's going to go well. Even if my friend John is sometimes a little concerned about it. We're not into the same things. We are definitely not into the same things. But so I'm a little Yeah, I'm just going to have to play it by ear, I think, is what just the whole gist of it really is that it's going to have to be just see how it goes. And be the what, because like I think what I was trying to get into not too long ago was again like planning things out a little bit too much and not giving myself the opportunity to just go with the flow, when I was hanging out with Alex there in Canada, she was said what she was doing, I had something else already planned out, and it was like I should have just canceled it. I could have taken that to I had an all right day the next day. I went to Salzburg, but it would have been probably a lot cooler had I just gone and hung out with her the next day, even if sex was not on the table. I think I probably would have had a lot better time because I had an awesome time hanging out with her the night I did. And yet, this podcast is just, I guess, a reminder for me to be like, oh yeah, maybe, yeah, being in the moment's cool and all, but also like, you know, maybe think about like, you know, tomorrow would be fun too if we changed our plan and maybe did something a little bit different. So trying to find that perfect balance of plan, like, because you don't want to go without any plan whatsoever going on a trip like this. Because when I went to Russia the first time, I mean, I had things that I wanted to see, but I had pretty much no plan on what to do, really, once I got there. I knew that about getting, you know, rubles and, I mean, it was just a basically big testing period for me. Like, I was going to fuck up that trip anyway, even if I wouldn't have gotten sick. There's just some things you don't learn until you do it, or at least for me. I was just not prepared for that trip. That trip was just like, I should have had some things lined up, like, I'm gonna do this, which I guess it's good I didn't, because I was sick. I don't know, that first trip was, it was rough. I mean, though, my last trip to Europe, that was back to Russia, and there was planned and there wasn't planned. I had the couple that, but I don't even think I planned those tours out before I got there. I think I paid for those tours once I got there. Like other trips, like when I went to Germany, I think I bought some of the tour like beforehand. I'm kind of thinking back, and I guess I plan it out when I get there, but I will buy like day tours, like days in advance. I am looking forward to the old trip, to getting back out there, because it's been like 6-7 years since, or well, it's been 2019, so 6 years, almost 6 years since I've been out of the country. And we'll see what happens, though. We'll see what happens. That having that dunkle last night, maybe it's just part of the excitement of knowing that I'm going to be going back to Germany, that made it taste. It was tasting really good last night. I was like, this is so tasty. I was playing Call of Duty, drinking some dunkle, which I did get. I ordered some Lieder Steins off Amazon that I believe were actually made in Germany. But they're the Hofbräuhaus Steins from Hofbräuhaus München, says on there. And I was like, oh, the exact same Steins that you get at the Das Original location. And maybe it was drinking out of the Stein, but I put two beers, and man, it was like, you know, like halfway up. Like, holy fuck. Holy fucking shit. That stuff. that stuff is see here. Let's see what the Hofbräu liquor content. 5.5%. Well, that's what AI says. Their Dunkel, yeah, 5.5%. That's, I got it on a more trusting website than some AI bullshit. Yeah, it's 5.5. I imagine. I'm thinking, I guess their Hefeweizen is probably about the same. But anyway, yeah, I was enjoying it. And maybe it was the Stein. Maybe it was the fact that I knew I was going back to Germany. It was the taste of Germany. Or perhaps it was just the memory of the old Hofbräu in Belleville that is no longer. The building's there. The beer hall is not. And it's a shame. That was a fun place. I feel like I wish they had one on the Missouri side and that was closer, like in Fenton. Fenton would have been a great area to put it over by where the new Amazon, where Wally's and all that is. There's a lot of land out there. It's right off the interstate. You get a lot of traffic in there. I wouldn't have to drive as far. It's over in Belleville. Kind of hard to just go like, I'm going to go to Belleville to get drunk. Not a great play. but I enjoyed going to that place. And I did read that there's an attempt by a doctor and somebody else to buy that place and make it some kind of like sports bar or something, which I can't even go there. Like, it might even be cool. I mean, it's a massive building and, you know, maybe it's cool, but it's not fucking Hofbräu. It's not a fucking German beer hall, you sons of bitches. So what if you got a few pool tables? I can go to closer places that have pool tables. There's a place here in town that's got pool tables. They don't have that many pool tables. I feel like if Erlen go play pool, I got to go to Pink Galleons. That's the way to go. Not driving to fucking Belleville to play pool. Now, to have a German beer hall experience in the States, I mean, I'd go to fucking Belleville. Ugh. And it was good. I mean, they had like the same fucking food that you'd get over at Hofbräu Haus München. And, you know, the beer tastes, I think the same. I mean, it's been quite a few years since I've been to Germany. I guess I haven't been to the Hofbräu Haus Belleville since before I went to Germany. I did pregame there, which kind of sucks. You know, I don't have like a big German beer hall near me that I can go pregame at. So I guess I'm just going to add home with the Stein and just work on my drinking. We'll see if the Z-Biotics work. I don't have a whole lot of faith in it, but I'm like, fuck it, why not? If something will make me feel a little bit better while drinking, maybe even if it's just like mentally, like if I could take something with me and just like down it and feel better, but we'll see. We'll see. I, again, don't have a lot of faith in it. Then again, it's like, how do you know that it was the Z-Biotics that did it? Maybe you just ate enough beforehand or whatever. You just pace yourself good enough. These are questions that I don't think I can answer myself. But, you know, I used to never get hangovers when I was, you know, my 20s drinking. Early 20s. Late 20s. Oh, yeah. It was a thing already. But, like, I would also eat, in the early days of drinking, I would eat, like, a fucking gooey butter cake beforehand. And just coat my stomach with that greasy butter. And then I was good to go. And then I just stopped doing that. You know? And I get hangovers with just like two beers or whatever now. So it's like, son of a bitch. But I am old as shit. So got that going for me. But I think that's about all I've got. Again, like next... On the 17th, that will be the anniversary of this show. Also my birthday, which will be a Monday. I'm going to the Blues game the day before, or should be going to the Blues game. And I might do something that Saturday. We'll see.
Wish I could go
to a German beer hall that Saturday. There's no... I mean, there's places... I mean, I'd go to Hermann or something if I really wanted to. Go to, like, some German places, but they're not really... They're not Hofbräuhaus. It's not like a massive beer hall, you know? It's not the same. You just go get... I could get some bratwurst, you know, and some kraut. But it's Irish. I got to support the Irish. I love me some Irish. I was born on St. Pat's. I got to do Irish stuff. So I imagine I'm going to make some corned beef and cabbage on the day of St. Pat's. I took that day off of work. And so I'll get some corned beef and cabbage rocking and some Guinness. I'll have some Guinness, at least a little bit, for St. Pat's. And then it's back to... Then it's just nothing but German beer. I got to get myself prepared. This is part of the training. But yeah, that's really all I've got. So, as always, that is a kid in a wheelchair, not a trash can.